Well, Father, you do what you want to do, no matter what I'm doing. And I thank you for being here tonight, all day, really, and even Saturday. I thank you for coming into our midst and moving upon us, Father God, and changing and rearranging us more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus. Father God, each one in here tonight is saying, God, don't quit moving upon me until I'm totally gone and all they see is Jesus. So do your works, Father. Do your mighty works within us. And Father, we give you full, total, complete permission to do whatever needs to be done so that all is seen is Jesus. And I thank you for it in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, but did you see where the man, all his life, what he wanted was to own a home so he could fly the flag in his yard? And he's getting fined $200 a day for flying his flag because the neighbors don't like the flapping sound of the flag. The world's getting terribly dark. Terribly dark. What is it, 200 million illegals he's given him citizenship free, Biden has. And there's people living right here in America and they can't get what they call green cards. You know, God has to reverse this thing and bring President Trump back into the Oval Office. He's still our president. God has never taken him out of office. But I said to him yesterday, God, please, do this thing quickly before the present people up there destroy America totally and completely. There's so many things being done in the dark. Let's come on with this lesson tonight, Brett. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. See, that's when you receive the power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There's too many people out there trying to work without the Holy Spirit, and it's not doing any good. You need the Holy Spirit to do anything for the Father. And John 16:13 says, Jesus says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. What's the Holy Spirit going to do? Guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. If you call yourself a prophet and are not walking in the Spirit, then you're not really a prophet. You're walking in the fake. I've seen a lot of people claiming they're prophets who don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, I wouldn't believe a word you said because it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you when you speak. And I would really admonish anybody that's listening or even in here, if somebody's prophesying over you and they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you need not let them do that. You don't need that curse in your life yet. This is what God said, fully charged and ready to go. You are fully infused with my Holy Spirit, and there is absolutely nothing that can hold you back. My Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he will not force himself upon you. You need to welcome him into your vessels of honor, and you need to allow him to lead, guide, and direct you. All of your flesh must have died, and nothing remains except my Holy Spirit. It is through my Holy Spirit that great signs, wonders, and miracles will occur. What did he say? It is through what? His Holy Spirit that great signs, wonders, and miracles will occur. God says, do not mix doubt with my Holy Spirit gifts. That will not work. You must have full confidence that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Then you must go forth proclaiming victory on all fronts. You ask, why do I have to be full of the Holy Spirit to save the lost? Because it is my Spirit that draws all men unto me. You in yourself can save no one. You can't draw anybody to you. And what they're being drawn to the Holy Spirit within you, not to you. And this is where a lot of, I think, perversion happens in the house of God, because people are drawn to the Holy Spirit in you. And right away, men or women, whoever you are, you think they're lusting after you. And then you go off on a tangent with them, and they never get saved. If somebody comes you weeping and crying and hugging you, it's because the Holy Spirit is drawing them. And you're supposed to be a child of God, and you're supposed to be telling them about Jesus, not joining in with what you think is their lust, because it's not their lust. It is truly the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And John 6:44 says, no one, this is Jesus speaking, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. You know, God, the Holy Spirit has to draw you before you can even want Jesus. And John 6:63 says, it is a spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are the spirit and they are life. Let's look, the Holy Spirit helped in creation in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Ephesians 4, so when we have the three, you know, later on God says, let's create man in our image. There was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at creation. The three work together to create what we now call earth. So why do you leave the Holy Spirit out of the Word? Why do you say it's not real? From the beginning, it was the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, don't grieve God. Don't break his heart, his Holy Spirit. Moving and breathing in you is the most ultimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cuttings, biting, backbiting, and profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we can forgive those who come against us. Your flesh in itself cannot forgive anybody. You can speak words with your lips, but that's all it is. It does not come from your heart. It's not a heartfelt forgiveness. That's why when you tell somebody you forgive them and then you find yourself thinking about it, it's because just your lips said it and it didn't come from the spirit that's down deep inside of you. 1 Thessalonians says, 5:19 tells us, do not quench the spirit. Do you know why God pulled the Holy Spirit out of the church, what, over 10 years ago? It's because they were quenching the spirit. They were ridiculing the spirit, so he just withdrew his spirit from the church. And that's why we went through those dead years without the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing and being in the house of God and performing the miracles that needed to be performed, because the church said he wasn't real. So God said, okay, you won't honor him, then I'll just take him away from you. And I don't know if any of you sitting in here has ever, I mean, you walk in the spirit, but all of a sudden you do something dumb and God pulls his spirit away from you for a season. That's a bad place to be. That's a dry desert ground. And you'd rather be dead than alive. Let's talk about the unpardonable sin. The verb blaspheme means to speak abusively or insultingly of someone or something. Now, Acts 18, verse 5 says, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Paul was compelled by the Holy Spirit, and he testified. But when they opposed Paul and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." They would not receive the Holy Spirit through Paul, so Paul says, "I'm leaving. You're on your own." Do you know that's what God has done with the church? He's left the church. And the only ones he's moving on is the ones who stayed with him and who are doing what he's calling them forth to do. In Romans 14, 16, and 17 says, "Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy." How? In the Holy Spirit. In Mark 3, 22, "And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, 'He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he cast out demons.'" They were saying this about Jesus. "And Jesus said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit." They were saying that what Jesus was doing was not of God, that he was a devil casting out devils. And therefore, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't say he can't be forgiven. Isn't that what that says? Jesus said, "But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation." A lot of people do that. They say that what you're doing is not of God. You know, it's not the Holy Spirit. And that makes God upset. And right there it says, because you've done that, there's no forgiveness for that. You know, God says to keep your nose on your own face. Quit sticking your nose in somebody else's business. Don't worry about what another church is doing or what another ministry is doing. You make sure you're doing what God's telling you to do. And anyhow, while you're talking about another ministry, you don't know really what's really going on there. You just only know what you know on the surface. You don't know what's going on underneath. And you might be blaspheming the Holy Spirit by doing that. Are you understanding this here this evening? Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the overt, verbal, and conscious rejection of the fact that God is at work in Jesus Christ accomplishing his designs through the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, so the power of God was really moving really strong in here tonight during praise and worship, but it's still here. Now, you know, if you hear, I was listening to Adam, blow the shofar. He was blown because the anointing was hitting him really strong, and he felt like he had to blow that shofar. Isn't that right? I could feel it in the shofar. He had, the anointing was there. He had to blow that shofar at those given times. Now, somebody else could say, "Well, why is he over there blowing that horn?" You just blasphemed the Holy Spirit because he was moved by the Holy Spirit to do that. Are you getting the drift of this? You know, I used to, you know, God used to, right before I'd start preaching, God made me dance, do an Indian dance. And I always felt it. I said, "God, please don't do it." And I wore real high heels then. I said, "Please don't make me do this." Because I knew, I could feel it, it hit me. And I'd dance all over the sanctuary. Like an Indian, all of a sudden, boop, as quick as it started to stop, that was the Holy Spirit. Don't ask me why he did that, because I don't know. But as quick as it started, it stopped. You can't make yourself do those type of things. There's no way. You have to let the Holy Spirit move within you and work through you, whatever miracles he's trying to perform. He had to be touching people or he wouldn't have had me do that. All right? Like the rock is anointed. If you say, "Well, she just has a stupid rock up there, there's nothing in it," you just blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I don't need to have rocks in the church. I got enough sitting in the chairs. Come on. I mean, you know, the rock is anointed. the Holy Spirit has touched that rock. So don't talk about the rock, or you'll be in trouble with God. Where am I at? Let's look at what the scripture is saying in Matthew 12:31. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. So I would say everybody that said that I was of the devil and told people not to come to this church, they were speaking against the Holy Spirit and they're in trouble. You know, really, as you study these scriptures, just see what God's really showing you in them. All right, one, first, the object of this blasphemy is the Holy Spirit, you know, in the scripture there. While the Spirit is the object, however, it is the Spirit's work in Jesus Christ that is the focus of the passage. See, the Holy Spirit is using Jesus to do things. Holy Spirit uses you to do things. And the people are coming against what the Holy Spirit is doing through you. Number second, the result of this blasphemy is that the blasphemer cannot be forgiven by God. And the third, the consequence of this blasphemy is eternal unforgiveness. Mark calls this the eternal sin. And the King James Version has eternal judgment. With what God is going to, is already started to do, it takes the Holy Spirit. And anybody that starts making fun of what's going on in the house of God is unforgivable, because they're coming against the Spirit of God that's moving throughout the building. Are you hearing me here? When I saw the angels ascending and descending, you know, the anointing hit me and I just couldn't hardly sit still. God is doing a new thing and he needs his angels to help with the project. When I first started church in my home, the angels, the ladder was there and the angels were ascending and descending. Once again, we're headed for great signs, wonders, and miracles. That point, when people would come across railroad tracks, they saw fire on the ceiling, on the roof. When they walked through the door, they were slain in the spirit. We had to pull them away from the door. God has chosen this temple to abide in, and he's on the move once again. And I give him full permission to throw anybody out that doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit. I don't need somebody in here blaspheming the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter, is that where I'm at? Don't mind Romans. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, like I said this morning, he had me speaking in tongues the whole way here, and that's something I don't usually do. Sitting there doing praise and worship, I couldn't quit speaking in tongues. And I thought about that was Sister Nancy's job. But God had me doing it. You know, I don't know what he was saying, what he was doing, but he was doing something in the house. All right, 2 Peter then, 1:20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. See, I really get a little bit concerned when people just get up and start prophesying all over the place. Are you prophesying through the Holy Spirit, or are you prophesying out of your flesh? You always need to make sure it's the Holy Spirit doing the speaking. As we're talking there, you know, like today, the Holy Spirit was moving really strong. And God said there was a Judas spirit in here this morning. And just like that, every bit of anointing drained out of me. So I said to Aaron, you go ahead and you prophesy, you minister to the people. I don't know why that happens, but it happens. I know when the spirit leaves me and I quit. I don't try to keep on going. You don't need to hear my voice. If it's not the Holy Spirit, then you don't need to hear anything. Sometimes I wonder, okay, God, the Holy Spirit left me. How come they can continue to prophesy? You're not doing anything wrong. Are you just standing up prophesying because that spirit of pride says, I'm going to take over now? You know, or are you truly anointed by the Holy Spirit to go ahead and start prophesying? I haven't an answer to that yet. I have that before God. All right, God. So then eventually what happens, if you notice, they'll prophesy, and then eventually I'll start prophesying again. So then, all right, we're getting our answer. So something happened right at that point to cause a spirit to wane from me, and God just moved it, gave that spirit to somebody else, and then came back to me again. It was because of the coming against that it waned. But then God, I don't need to be seen. I know there's some prophets in here that you get upset if you don't get to prophesy, and that's a shame. I feel sorry for you. I do pray for you. But, you know, I don't need to be heard, because if it's not God speaking, I have nothing to say to you. Absolutely nothing. And everybody in here, you should be the very same way. You don't need to be heard. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks through you. All right? Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Now listen to this. And he kept back, Ananias kept back part of their proceeds, his wife also being aware of it. They agreed together and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? See, the Holy Spirit told Peter what was going on. Now look at verse 4. Peter said, well, it remained. Was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. He lied to the Holy Spirit, and he was killed. God told us that the days of Ananias and Sapphira was coming back into the church. And so if you're going to be lying to the pastor or to whoever, then you're lying to the Holy Spirit, and you could drop dead. All right, now let's look at Acts 5, verse 7. Now it was about 3 hours later when Ananias' wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together, you and her and her husband, to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. The Holy Spirit struck her dead. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. You know, if you come to my face and you lie to me, because I don't know what you're doing, you're not lying to me, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit at that point starts judging you for your lying. And if your parents are really walking in the Spirit, really serving God with all their heart, and you go and you tell them a lie, you're lying to the Holy Spirit and not to your parents. Are you understanding this? Y'all just don't understand really how serious this is whenever you're full of the Holy Spirit. Because it's through the Holy Spirit that all things are accomplished. Who is ministering to the sheep? Now, what you guys are wanting to be ministers, look at this. Acts 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Read that again. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, this is Paul speaking. He said, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. See, Paul knew he was full of the Holy Spirit. And he knew the devil wasn't going to come in and bother the sheep as long as he was there. But he says, after I depart, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit created heaven and earth. And we read in Genesis that God said, let there be, and it was. It is time, body of Christ, that you put away all your religion, all the dumb stuff that you're doing, and you go to God and repent and ask and invite the Holy Spirit in and tell him he can do whatever he wants to do through you. And start living a holy life. The Holy Spirit will not dwell in an unholy vessel. You're going to have to be holy in order for that to happen. And let me see. God is spirit, and all that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a song out that I love that talks about that. In John 4:23, Jesus says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The reason why you can't enter into praise and worship is because a spirit does not abide in you, and you cannot enter into true praise and worship without the Holy Spirit. Now, God is saying right now, do not grieve the Holy Spirit that I have brought in here. Do not trample on him again. I will not spare you if you do it again. God spoke, and it was when he created, right? God spoke, and it was. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then when we speak healings and deliverances in the house, it will be accomplished. And I know that Sister Barbara is full of the Holy Spirit, and I know she's on the deliverance team. So somebody in here today needed deliverance, and I was trying to get her attention, but she was caught up in the Spirit. And so then God said, just do it later. So I made a little note and gave it to Chris, because he's in the deliverance team too, and said, this is what has to be done. But see, she could have, because she's full of the Holy Spirit, she could have went to that person, and as I told her what to do, it would have had to come out. But some people in here, it would have went into them, because there was too many in here that are not really following God the way they ought. And why couldn't I get her attention? Because God didn't want me to get her attention. Because he knew that this was not the proper time. He was just telling me what was going on. Are you understanding that? So everything has a proper time to be done. Just because God shows you something does not. And just like the young man that I kept ministering to, you know, I was really finished. I was getting ready to go. But God just kept telling me about this man and showing me how this young man and showing me how hurt he is and how, you know, how unworthy he's feeling. And God kept having me minister to him. And then I would have Aaron minister to him. And the boy got set free. And I'm quite sure when he left here, he felt worthy. But see, God just kept directing all of his attention on this one young man. This man needed him more than anybody else in the church. And so God focused his attention on him. He didn't care how many people was on the line wanting prophetic word. This young man was dead. And God wanted to bring him back to life. So we don't worry about who's on the line. We're concerned about whatever God's concerned about. And God was concerned about that young man. And see what happens in the house of God. So, oh, we have other things we have to do. No, as long as God's ministering that one person, that's where you're supposed to be at. Ministering that one person. Doesn't matter how many's in the house wanting ministered to. Are you understanding this? you really grieve the Holy Spirit when you just think, oh, I got to go minister to these other people and getting excited. They want to leave. Well, let them leave. God is focused on one person, and that's the most important person in the house. Okay? Okay, when I am ministering, I know when the Holy Spirit stops, so I stop also. I just don't keep plundering on. I stop. It does not matter who wants a word. If the Holy Spirit's not speaking, neither am I. That's why each one of you should be. And when you know that the Spirit has left you, stop. Because you're not going to accomplish anything. Because as you move forward, you're moving forward in your own flesh. Be honest, the Holy Spirit's left me. And I can't minister to you no more. Close out your meeting if you have to. But don't stand here and work in your flesh and do dumb things that is not of God, and then it's going to make you look bad. You might think, well, people think I don't know what I'm doing. Well, let them think whatever they want to think. You have to be doing what God is calling you for to do, not what people are telling you to do. All right? You know, I was sitting here today, and I just kept praying in tongues. I've thought about the minister who he has a church. And he won't start his church until the Holy Spirit moves. So he sits right there, puts a box over his head, and waits until the Holy Spirit starts moving. Then he takes the box off, and the Spirit of God moves all through the church. He said he will not get up and move without the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't see any of you guys sitting there with a box over your head. Because while the box over your head, you're thinking, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and what the people think. And he doesn't care about anything. But, you know, the people don't mind because they know that whenever he takes that box off, God's in the house. Are you understanding this? See, we're not wanting God to move. We're wanting man to move. So we're not waiting on the Holy Spirit to move. Just get up, man, and do something. Entertain us. God's not in the entertaining business. So God said, this is what God said. Now the groundwork has been laid for you. Now all you have to do is walk in the Spirit and complete the works I have called you forth to accomplish. You know, if you don't understand the full working, you know, and the Holy Spirit had to teach me this. You know, I've been at this now since, what, 77, I think. So he had, you know, that's how I learned what I know is through the Holy Spirit teaching me. God didn't want me to go away to college to be taught, you know, in college, Bible school. He said, my Holy Spirit will teach you. So everything I know, I've been taught by the Holy Spirit. When I first started, I'd go to pastor and say, this and this is going on. What's going on? I don't know. Just sit down and be quiet. You do the dumbest things. See, they weren't walking in the Spirit either. So they couldn't help me. So if I'm not walking in the Spirit, how am I going to teach you how to walk in the Spirit? What's the word say? The blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. You know, if you don't know how to run on a glow, how are you going to teach somebody else how to run on a glow? You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are running things in the flesh, and they're not going anywhere. And if we would just learn to let the Holy Spirit come and have full and total and complete control, you would go somewhere. And God's saying, tonight I'm in your midst, and I want to anoint you from on high, to truly learn how to flow in my Holy Spirit and not ever be deceived ever again. So the altar's open for that. But before you come up, just sit still a minute. Everybody that walks through this door is a minister. This is what God told me when I first started. He said, I'm going to send ministers into the house, and I'm going to use you to train them how to minister, and then I'm going to send them forth. So anybody that comes through this door, your purpose is to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're here to be taught how to do that. Do not ever, ever go out there in your flesh. Stay in the presence of God until you hear his voice, because he will speak to you. He will speak to you, and he will tell you what to do. My first mistake, and I hope the only mistake I made, was I had church in my home, and it was so packed full, we just kept moving out, till we was running out of room. And the people said, well, you need to get a building. The people said, you need to get a building. And they kept after me, so I started looking for a building, and this is a building we found. And everything was going wrong in here when we was trying to get it ready to move into it. And I asked God, I sat right there, no steps going down to the basement. I said, God, what is going on here? He said, the people told you to get a building. I did not. He said, I did not want you in this building. He said, but I will keep you while you're here. You won't have an abundance, but I will keep you. But see, I listened to the voice of man. And I moved without God wanting me to move. Are you understanding this? So when you get a, when you start a ministry, everybody's going to tell you how to run it. Everybody. But you don't listen to them. You listen to what the Holy Spirit of God is telling you to do. And you do it the way He is telling you to do it. And don't you try to run somebody else's business either. You keep your nose in your own business, you know, whatever God's calling you to do. You run that because really and truly, you can't run somebody else's business. You're not doing a good job of your own at that point. You know, and God's trying to teach you in all ways. So if you're going to come up here tonight, and remember what I said, everybody God sends in here, He told me as a minister. We've had, and He said that we would always have a swinging door because He sends them in. They can't cut it. They can't die to their flesh. They can't do what God's telling them to do. And so they leave. And there's even some that have come in and started churches before God wanted them to. They just knew that they were supposed to be out there. And they lost their churches and they're not even serving God anymore. Why? Because they got upset because God didn't keep their church. God didn't tell them to start it at that point. When I first started, there was different things people wanted me to do. And God said, don't you do that. I don't want you doing that. And I didn't do it. So I've always followed God's voice and do exactly what He tells me to do. And that's what you have to do too. Men will push you into a corner, really. And then once you get in there and fail, they'll say, see, I knew it wasn't God. No, it wasn't because they pushed you there. But if you listen to God's voice and do what God's telling you to do, you will not fail. So the altar's open then for an anointing to flow in the Spirit, and it will never stop.